Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an extra 20% off in store.
Very good evening and welcome along to this week's edition of The Score. We're with you through until 8 o'clock tonight. Hopefully you can stay with us. The National Leagues are up and running in both the football and the hurling. A fascinating opening weekend, throwing up some interesting results. We go again this weekend with the second series of fixtures. More on that a little later on. On the soccer front, we're facing into an intriguing weekend of cup action in both the FAI Junior and the FAI Intermediate Cups. Four sides from Donegal involved. We'll look ahead to those ties shortly. And there's boxing too. The National Under-18 Finals are on in Dublin tomorrow night. Three boxers from Donegal on the card. More on that later on. But my studio guest this evening and making his debut on The Score is Maxi Kern, manager of the Donegal Senior Ladies side. Maxi, great to have you in with us tonight. You and your team were in Mayo last weekend. This weekend, it's a trip to Waterford. You're fairly clocking up the miles, Maxi, already.
Yeah, it's a tough start for us now. Logistically, there's a fair bit of tracking involved. Last year we opened up in Dublin, and this year we had to go to Mayo and then follow up with a trip to Waterford, the whole way down to Dungarvan. So, but look, you have these fixtures in the league, and you know, in some respects, probably good to get two of the way trips out of the way early. You know, having lost last week's game, there's added pressure on this week in terms of trying to get the 2 points and get the campaign up and running.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. Disappointing to lose last weekend, Maxi. A difficult opening game, as you say. So all of a sudden, wee bit of pressure on to get a result this weekend.
There is a bit of pressure. And it was disappointing if the perspective was a game that we definitely could have got something out of. You know, we conceded four goals. It was 11 scores each on the day, but we conceded four goals, and that was the big difference. And you know, very disappointingly too, in the fact that you know we had a direct hand in each of the four goals ourselves. So look, you can bemoan bad luck, and you can bemoan, you know, questionable refereeing decisions, but you know, when you don't get your own side of the house right and take care of your own business, you know, you can have no complaints. And that was where we were at coming up the road on Sunday. You know, we knew we had a big part to play in the losing of the game ourselves, and then with the way the results went, it's quite peculiar to be sitting after the first round of games in any league to be saying that the results didn't go your way, but they didn't. You know, our opponents this week, Waterford, had a tremendous result up in Galway. They beat Galway by a point in Corrifin, something that's very, very hard to do. And Tipperary, another team who, you know, would think would be maybe fighting it out with ourselves at the bottom end of the table, got a brilliant result. They got a draw in Dublin. So it's definitely tightening things up, and it's making the games coming against the likes of the Waterfords, the Tipperary's, the Westmeath, even that more important now. And it's making for a big one for us this week.
Yep, so you travel to Waterford on Friday. The game itself is on Saturday.
Yeah, the game's at 12 o'clock on Saturday, so we'll go down Friday evening, and we stay down about Kilkenny direction. We'll travel the rest of the journey down on Saturday morning. But look, it's a game that's winnable for us, and with the way the ladies game is structured, if two teams happen to end up on the same points, it goes on a head-to-head. So if we could happen to beat Waterford on Saturday, we would end up ahead of them anyway. You know, yeah. Even the two teams didn't want another game for the rest of the year. By virtue of that, it would leave us safe anyway, coincidentally. So, you know, from on one hand, you can be, you know, despondent about losing last week and them getting the win. It's a kind of a quirk in the system that you know, it's really the old six-pointer, so to speak, you know, this week.
Is it a case of going into the unknown, perhaps, Maxi? Because Waterford up into Division 1 this season following their promotion last year, fair to say they'll present a different kind of challenge.
A very different kind of challenge. Look, we would have played them in a challenge game at the start of 2018, and we would have found them a real handful, a very, very leggy team. And, you know, people tend to look at league tables and say, well, such and a team is Division 1 and such and a team is Division 2. And that's not really, you know, accurate in ladies football, because there's 12 senior teams in the country. There's 7 of them in Division 1 and there's 5 of them in Division 2. You know, all 4 of our Ulster opponents at senior level are all in Division 2. So it's a very, very tricky league. Only one team gets out of it. So it's by no means a disgrace to anybody to be in Division 2, you know, such is the competitive nature of it. So look, Waterford are a serious outfit. They give Cork a real good run for it in last year's Munster final. they were in the game right up to about the 50th minute. So they have probably lost a couple of players and have a couple of new players in that, you know, we wouldn't have come across before. And they've, you know, they see they've a set of triplets there. The Murray girls had all got on the score sheet last year and got a goal each last week against Galway. So it's a look, they're a team that we haven't played competitively, and we would have played the majority of the teams at this stage, but this is one we haven't. So yeah, we are going a wee bit under the unknown, but look, that takes off a wee bit of pressure as well, because sometimes you go into games and you're too focused on the opposition and you're trying to get your matchups right, and you know, sometimes it takes the pressure off everybody if you just go and play a game. And I think that's probably one of the pluses heading into this weekend.
Okay, so you're starting off with two away games. That's never easy in itself, Maxie. After this weekend then you have a home game against Galway, which is part of that double billing, Letterkenny, isn't it, in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, we our next two home games are both double headers. The Galway one coming up on the 9th is lovely, because it's Donegal and Galway in the main as well after. So look, that's a lovely occasion, and you know, they're worth their weight in gold to the LGFA in terms of promoting the game, and you know, the amount of people that have got to see Donegal ladies play in the last couple of years just because of the double headers it's unbelievable. And you know, and majority of people come away from the game, you know, completely impressed by the standard of the football that they see, and that's the, you know, that's the beauty of the double headers. And look, I suppose in a way we've been quite unfortunate with the way the fixtures have fallen in the league, in terms of staying up in Division 1 anyway. You know, when you want to stay up in these divisions, you obviously have to target your home games, but we only have three this year and four away, and it happened to be against the three top teams in Ireland, Dublin, Galway and Cork. So it's going to present a fair old challenge for us, but look, it's one you have to embrace. And you know, in terms of playing the matches as double headers, it adds a wee bit of pressure, but that's what you need. You know, girls need to get accustomed to coming to these games and playing under a bit of pressure. You know, there's that many games now televised, and the games are getting bigger. We're hoping our championship match will be a double header in Balbuffet with the men as well. You know, we play Tyrone and the men play Tyrone, so you know, getting exposure to big crowds and you know, adding a wee bit of nerves into the mix is definitely a good thing. And look, we have a relatively an experienced squad again this year, so it's great for them to get a taste of these games.
Okay, that's the voice of Maxie Curran, the manager of the Donegal Senior Ladies team. We'll hear more from Maxie after this break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an extra 20% off in store.
Welcome back to The Score. Maxie Curran in studio with me. Maxie, big changes in your squad this year as well. I think you've lost a lot of players from last year's panel.
We do indeed. We're probably left with about 9 or 10 of the panel we had for last year's championship. There's one or two away travelling, one or two playing Aussie rules and that. But look, it's we're still left with a fairly, you know, big glut of experienced players that have played a lot of championship football. So it's, you know, it's not something we're looking at as an excuse. We're looking at it as an opportunity to try and find a few players. We were in a similar situation last year. I think we played Dublin. We had 7 debutants on the day, and we had a similar number in Mayo the last day. You know, the beauty about the situation is that you give girls the opportunity to play against the better teams and against the better players, and you know, they're thrown at the deep end to an extent, but you know, you see the ones that are able to sink and the ones that are able to swim. And you know, we would have found a couple of players came out of it last year with flying colours. Niamh Kiar from the Mulford club, she was brilliant last year's league and turned out one of our better players in the championship. And you know, she would have been kicking her heels in the bench for a number of years, but then got her chance last year, you know, and really blossomed. And Niamh Boyle from St. Olds would have been something similar. So look, we feel that the same opportunity is going to be there for, you know, for the younger girls in this year. We have a couple of girls from Glenfinn, Kathy Ward and Annie Logan, Emma McCrory from Robert Emma's has come back and she's been out for a couple of years, and we've Carolyn Sharkey from Nivora who would have been part of the Nivora team that got to the Ulster Junior Club final this year. So it's great to have those couple of girls about, and it's a great learning curve for them. And look, the objective and hope for any league campaign is to try and find a few players that are able to play championship come the summertime. And then look, at the end of the day, still we have the Gerlie McLaughlins and the Emer Gallers and Nicole McLaughlin, girls that have all Ireland medals in their back pocket from club football, and you know, and a fistful of Ulster medals at this stage. So it's a nice blend. It's a nice mix of players, and it's a, you know, we feel it makes for a real competitive league, and you know, our squad is small and people get the chances to play. And I think we feel it's been the best route for us in terms of developing players and finding players for championships.
Yeah, and I mean, the standard at underage level here in the county is very strong, Maxie, but are those players staying with the game the older they get?
Well, look, there is probably a fair drop off rate in ladies football, as everybody well knows, and ladies sport in general. You know, and I think there's a big campaign nationally going on at the minute, the 2020 campaign that started a couple of years ago, where they had the wisdom to try and create a movement aimed for this year 2020, where they wanted to increase participation levels in adults by 20%. They want to increase media coverage by 20% and increase attendance at games, not by 20%. And you know, and that's all part of it. And you mentioned the double headers earlier. That all feeds into, you know, the attraction for girls to stay with it. Look, we are faced with a challenge in Donegal geographically, in that, you know, an awful lot of, you know, whether it be boys or girls, when they want to go to third level, they end up, you know, going to the Dublins and the Galways and the Belfast, and we find that it's quite hard to get them back at that stage. You know, a lot of them, you know, some will do teaching one thing or another and they end up teaching around Dublin, and it's very difficult. You know, doesn't seem to be the same pull back to play for Donegal as there is for the boys. You know, it's a bigger machine that's working behind the men's game. And but look, we do feel that the bigger the profile, the better the standard. And you know, campaigns like the 2020 and getting people behind that is making a massive drive to increase everything across the board for ladies football. And you know, we feel that that'll help for the issue you mentioned there in terms of trying to keep girls involved more. And you know, Donegal have had a lot of success at underage over the years, but we probably haven't been able to get enough of them through. You know, we're in a situation at the minute where we have quite a number of girls who are at the tail end of their career, and they'll probably be a step away at the end of this year. And you know, we will need to be, you know, digging deep into the younger girls that are there. And thankfully there's a good lot of work being done at underage for that.
Yeah, well, the chance is going to be there for them. You yourself, third year now as manager of the Donegal senior ladies team, enjoying it?
Yeah, loving it. Look, it's a brilliant challenge, and you know, the turnover of players is massive in ladies football, and it's a big difference in the men's game. You know, where I suppose would have been involved in under 21s for 4 or 5 years, and you had a new squad coming every year, and you had to start from scratch every year. You know, and then you're involved in the senior team, where you see the same faces over and over, and you get a chance to build and progress, and you hear people talk about their 3-year plans. Look, in ladies football, that just doesn't exist, because for different reasons, there are just such a big turnover of players. And you know, I think Dublin themselves are without 8 players from the starting 15 that won the All-Ireland in September. So you know, it's commonplace, and you're left at the start of the year, you know, trying to find a couple of players all the time, and trying to you know, develop again. And you know, you have players coming back and players stepping away, and players will take a year out to go and travel, they'll take a year out to go with college. You know, they tend to do it a bit more than the boys do. So it's really interesting from that perspective. You're, as I say, you're starting off from scratch a lot of the time, you know, come January. And you know, it's a whole new fight all over again.
It certainly is. Okay, well, we'll turn our attentions briefly to the men. Donegal travelling to Navan to play Meath on Sunday in the second round of games in the Allianz League this weekend. Both sides looking for a first win in Division 1. Donegal, of course, drawing with Mayo and Balbuffet last Saturday night, and Meath losing out in Omagh to Tyrone. The counties actually faced off on 3 occasions during last year, with Donegal prevailing in all those matches, including the Division 2 League final and the Super 8s tie in Balbuffet. Tom Comeck has been talking with St Union's man Keelan Ward ahead of the trip to Park Talton, and he says they have to learn from their mistakes against Mayo if they're to take the full points this weekend.
The performance was quite pleasing for most part of it. A lot of good things went right and a lot of players played very well. But then obviously the disappointment was we didn't see it out and didn't pick up full points. But at the end of the day, we came home with 1, and anything you get at this level is worth it, you know.
And obviously, if we look around the leagues, there was a lot of big games, a lot of big performances, and a lot of strong teams out. So obviously, everybody taking the league pretty serious.
Definitely, you know, we worked hard last year to get back into Division 1 now, and we want to stay there for as long as we can. Like, so definitely have to target a strong start and enough to maybe take the pressure off us. But game ahead down the road now to Navan on Sunday, and look for another 2 points and another performance.
Football is all about learning, and I suppose every day you go out, as the old saying goes, is a school day. Obviously, lessons learned. What's the big lesson learned from against Mayo on Saturday night?
The big lesson was that you have to play to the very end, and game teams in Division 1 are all of a high standard, and they will punish you if you do slacken off or you do lose concentration. So definitely now, you know, just because we were 3 or 4 points up at the time doesn't mean the game was necessarily over. So whenever we go down now, that's probably going to be number one, is when you're in a position and you put yourself in a good, strong position to see it through, see it right to the end.
And tell me, you played Meath, what, I think something like three times last year. What did you make of tomorrow? How did you find them?
Yeah, Meath, three times I played them. Big, strong team, powerful runners, and the forwards in it can take scores. So, again, there'll be a challenge, there'll be something different. And they'll be looking back at the games we played last year, and they'll be targeting this as maybe a game that they can right the wrongs of their performances in the three defeats that they had last year. So they'll be looking at us coming down, looking for their performance to be on song, and you know, they'll be looking to survive in Division 1-2. So it sets up to be another good game. I'm sure the Meath crowd will get behind them, and Donegal will travel well as well.
They seem to be a fast-running forward line. Are they more difficult to handle, a team like that?
I wouldn't say more difficult, just throw up different challenges. Depending on how they play the ball, if they run it or they kick it, you have to kind of adjust yourself. So I'm sure we'll get looking at them now over the next couple of days, and to see what they did on Sunday pass against Tyrone and what they are likely to do now against ourselves on Sunday.
What's your own experience against them? Have you played many times?
Played a couple of games last year, and then we played them in a qualifier in 2017 down there. Again, there was only a point in it that day, so there's never too much between us. You know, these games, granted they're in January, but they still mean a lot to every team that's going out in the National League. So it's something that I'm sure the game will be quite good and quite entertaining, and hopefully we can come away with a result anyway.
That's Keelan Ward there in conversation with Tom Comack, and you can join the Highland team of Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh for full live match commentary from Meath and Donegal in Navan on Sunday. Throw in there is a 2 o'clock Highlands coverage will be in association with McKenna Centra in Buncrana. Maxie Curran, Keelan Ward enjoying a good run of form with Donegal. Great to see him involved.
Great to see him involved. I was at the McKenna Cup match in Celtic Park against Derry, and I thought it was the best game I've seen Keelan play in a long time. And ironically enough, I think Keelan's best game for Donegal senior ever was the 2017 qualifier down in Navan. He had a serious game at cornerback that day, and look, he's a player with immense potential, and you know, people have been looking at him for a number of years, and you know, kind of urging that to come out. And you know, I think Keelan's biggest issue so far has been his ability to play anywhere. He's such a talented guy, you know, even at his club level he's played from, you know, wing forward right the whole way back to wing back. He can just play anywhere. In fact, he played a full forward a couple of times too, you know, kind of a jack of all trades, and he had to nail down a position. I think that is what maybe the thing that has maybe slowed his progress a small bit, but look, he seems to be having having renewed confidence this year, and he seems to have the bit between his teeth, and he's getting up the field and he's affecting the play the other side of the field, and I think that's very good, and I think it's promising for Donegal to have a player of that calibre. You know, he's very athletic, very quick, he's a big guy, tall, you know, he can play in the full back line if needed. On a given day, as he proved against Kerry last year. So listen, it's a plus for Donegal. They're without Paddy McGrath, they're without Steamy Menaman, you know, for the foreseeable future, Kieran Gillespie, and you know, we're not blessed with defenders, and so it's important that, you know, Keelan now continues on the front foot, and you know, becomes a mainstay in the team.
Yeah, and just like the ladies, when you don't win your opening game of the weekend, Maxie, the pressure begins to build on you to go out and try and get some points on the board, even though it's still very early stages of this league campaign. You know, Meath might be looking at this game as one that they perhaps could win.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, everybody in a league like this, you know, has to target their home games first and foremost. You know, and while Donegal got the better of Meath in the three outings last year, you know, there hasn't been much between them. And, you know, the way Meath started the league final in particular last year, you know, they thought they were going to blow Donegal completely out of the water. So, listen, you know, Meath always come with a lot of fight. And Keelan mentioned the fact they're a big, strong team, you know, very, very physical. And, you know, they play the game hard historically, and nothing has changed. Andy McEntee has kind of reinstilled that toughness that kind of had gone out of Meath for a couple of years. And, you know, they'll hold no fear of Donegal. You know, I know they're big mayors of Michael Murphy, and they'll feel if they can, you know, put some form of shackle on him, that they have a great chance of getting the 2 points. And you're right, look, they need it. The boys like ourselves would be bitterly disappointed, and how the game ended last week, you know, it was there for the taking, but as Keelan said, it's a great lesson for them. And I suppose the other interesting aspect of last week was the importance of your senior players. You know, Ryan McHugh had went off the field, Neil McGee went off the field, you know, prior to that, and you have to ask yourself if Neil McGee was on the field at that time, would would he have let that man come through the middle? And you know, the answer probably no. So, you know, no more than ourselves being without the senior players. Why it's great to have the opportunity to blood the younger guys. Look, you do need that core of senior players to get you over the line. And look, Park Talton and Sunderland will be no place for the faint-hearted, let me tell you.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of how important a senior player is to a side. Maxie, this week we've got the news, Declan confirming that Leo McLoone is stepping away from football at inter-county level. What do you make of that? You know, a quality player over the years gave so much to the county and his club.
Yeah, well, look, that's the thing. Look, Leo owes Donegal or even Eve Connell nothing. You know, he's given brilliant years of service. I think when he came on the field as a 15-year-old in the county final 2005, I think everybody seen the quality that he had and that he was, you know, destined for great things. And look, Leo's been an integral part of everything that Donegal have won over the last 10 years or so in a really successful period, probably the most successful period in our history. And look, Leo's been involved in every one of it from he's got the clean sweep of Ulster Championship medals from 16 minor, 21 and senior, and not many have that. And look, he has been a leader over the years, and especially for his club, Niamh Connell. You know, we were in the receiving end ourselves in 2015 in the county final when, you know, he had a relatively quiet game and he just kind of came to life at 10 minutes ago and he won the game on his own. He dragged Lenties over the line that day. And, you know, I don't think there's anybody in Donegal is under any illusions as to the quality of Liam McLoone and what he brought to Donegal and the role that he played. And look, I think it's probably Niamh Connell will be the ones laughing now. They'll have a rejuvenated Leo back in the club team to defend their county title. But look, he's given great years of service to Donegal. He's a great fella to work with. You know, a smashing guy, and it is a pleasure to work with him. And wish him all the best in his retirement.
Okay, Maxie, we wish you the best this weekend. Another important fixture for your ladies team. You're off on the road tomorrow. Hopefully, you'll come back down the road with the 2 points, because they're badly needed.
Badly needed, and look, it's going to be a very tight league for us. You know, with the four away games against the teams that we're battling with. And but look, I say we're looking forward to the challenge. We're not afraid of. And look, if we come up the road, we'll have learned something about ourselves, no matter what way it goes. And that's the most important thing.
Okay, Maxie, thanks for that tonight.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an extra 20% off in store.
Yeah, and you're welcome back to The Score. That Waterford-Donegal game in the Little Ladies National Football League Division 1 on Saturday, it was originally down for 1 o'clock. It has a throw-in time of 12 o'clock, and on Saturday evening Mayo host Dublin at 5 o'clock. There's hurling action as well this weekend. Donegal are away to Tyrone on Sunday. That's in Division 3A, a 2 o'clock throw-in there. Derry are involved in Division 2B, of course, and they're on their travels there away to London. It's a busy week on the colleges scene here as well, with a number of big games involving teams from Donegal. Among the ties of interest is Saturday's Macquarie Cup clash at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, where St Union's College take on Patrician College of Carrickmacross. A big crowd expected for this one, and hopefully that's the case, as the receipts at the gate will go towards the Callum Friel Fund. For St Union's, it's a first game since November, a point touched upon by their manager David O'Herlihy when he spoke with Tom Comack.
Well, David, first of all, I suppose looking forward to Saturday's game. Obviously, a chance maybe taking it one step further than last year.
Yeah, look, our last competitive game was the end of November, so it's been a long wait, and the lads and myself are really eager just to have Saturday come around now, you know.
Yeah, as you said, that last game was against St Pat's Mara. One of the games you won, that was a big result.
Yeah, St Pat's Mahara, I suppose, would be, you know, your top level teams in the Macquarie. So it was great. It was a great confidence booster for the lads to beat them. And I suppose it just gave us a wee bit of a platform then to train over Christmas, you know.
Yeah, and you had beaten Holy Trinity as well, hadn't you? Lost to St Pat's O'Cavan.
Yeah, beat Holy Trinity in the first game. And again, we were very poor probably against St Pat's O'Cavan in the first 10 minutes, and we couldn't really recover from that. But, like, you know, it was a learning experience, and all games are, you know. So again, just looking forward to Saturday night.
And tell us a little about the team. They're drawn from the clubs around the area, isn't there? It's mostly units.
Yeah. So we've maybe five feeder clubs. You know, your Glen Swillies, your Termans, Unions, Gales. We have a player from Convoy.
St. Michael's usually one or two.
Yeah, but not this year. They normally do. You know, there was the tradition there of players coming off from St. Michael's, but it's kind of faded away in the last couple of years. You know, whereas the team we're playing on Saturday now, they have players from Monaghan, from Meath, from Louth, you know, so they're drawn from players from other counties, you know, which is a big advantage.
And talk to me about some of the personnel in the team.
Well, I suppose you have your Shane O'Donnell's there. Shane is a current All-Star. He won it a couple of weeks ago. You've got, I suppose, maybe eight of the Donegal minor team are in the minor panel over there last year. Jack Allers, Kieran Tobin, who was the minor captain last year, Owen Dowlin, Jamie Grant. You know, you've also got that tournament contingent that did so well in Ulster, Connor Cassidy, the goalkeeper Emmett. So, you know, you've got quality throughout the team, you know.
Yeah. And so O'Donnell Park, home advantage, must be worth a point or two.
Well, it's not, you know, I suppose, yeah, it's home advantage as in it's Letterkenny, but, you know, the lads wouldn't be that used to playing there, you know, so we're going to get a session there on Friday, and it'll be good just for them to find their bearings on the pitch, you know, because it's a huge pitch out there. But yeah, hopefully home advantage, it should be a good crowd, and, you know, it just should be a brilliant day for everybody.
And as you said, Patricia and Hyde have players from Monaghan, Cavan, Meath, and now they're out. Do you know much about them, or have you heard anything on them?
We know a fair bit about them. Like, you know, they've maybe three or four players in the team that ran Kerry to a point in All-Ireland semi-final 2018. And I think they've maybe eight that were on the Monaghan team that won Ulster in the minors last year and who give Donegal a trimming along the way. So, I mean, you know, we really know it's going to be a huge battle for us, you know.
And tell me, are you happy enough with the preparations?
Yeah. Look, suppose bar maybe Darry Allison there, he picked up a shoulder injury last week. Everybody else is fit and raring to go, you know.
There you are, David O'Herlihy there, the manager of St Eunan's, who are involved in that Macquarie Cup game on Saturday afternoon at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. By the way, throw in there is at 2 o'clock and get along. The receipts at the gate will go to the Callum Freed Fund. Moving on to football, FAI independent chair Roy Barrett has welcomed a financial agreement that he says safeguards the future of the association. An interest-free loan of €2.5 million will be provided each year from 2020 to 2022 to safeguard their interest in the Aviva Stadium. Sport Ireland will restore funding to the FAI to the tune of €2.9 million annually, doubling that figure for years 2020 to 2023. Minister for Sport Shane Ross says there will be no programmes of compulsory redundancies at the FAI. Well, on the field, it's another big weekend up ahead for four sides from Donegal. Buncrana Hearts, Greencastle FC, they're both involved in FAI Junior Cup action. And in the FAI Intermediate Cup, Bunnagee United and Cockhill Celtic both have games as well. And to look ahead to those matches, I'm joined on the line this evening by Greencastle player Gavin Harkin. Gavin, you're very welcome along to The Score.
Thank you.
Gavin, on your travels this weekend, Rush Athletic in Dublin are the opponents for Greencastle. It's a last 16 tie, so the prize for the winners is a place in the last eight, a quarter-final tie. Big carrot at stake for the winners.
Yeah, massive game for us. We've had a few good runs in the cup now, but we've fallen at the 32 hurdle a couple of times. So it was great to get past St Michael's in the last round and finally get to the 16. But we're confident and hopeful that we can go further.
That was some result against St Michael's, Gavin. It must have been brilliant to be involved.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant team performance. It had a bit of everything that day. You know, it had great football. It had a lot of counter attack, and then there was times where we had to soak up a lot of pressure. You know, they were a top team, and you're not gonna play a team like that and not have to sit back and take pressure at times. But we showed we can do that as well as play the nice football, and it was great to get the result and end up.
And when you beat the holders of the competition like St Michael's, Gavin, all of a sudden people sit up and take notice, and Greencastle's name is on the national stage.
Yeah, it was great to see on all the social media and online and papers and whatnot afterwards the praise from everybody for us. It was great to see, and hopefully we can go, as I say, one further and have people really, really take notice.
Yeah, because another big weekend, two sides from the NSU1 League involved, Greencastle in Rush in Dublin on Sunday. That game's at 2 o'clock. There's a 1 o'clock start in Buncrana, where Buncrana Hearts host Killarney Celtic. Now, this is a last 32 tie, so they're around behind you, isn't that right, Gavin?
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, for the league and for Buncrana, they can see their game out as well. Buncrana are a good side, some great players, and, you know, as everybody says in the FA Junior Cup, home advantage is massive, and hopefully they can use it to their advantage.
Yeah, because their form in the cup has been so good this season. They've got so many games to catch up in terms of their league programme.
Yeah.
But their cup form has been brilliant.
Exactly. Cup football brings out something different. You know, it's so unpredictable. You know, a moment of magic, anything can see you through. And as I say, hopefully for the sake of the league and have the rest of the country take a notice at the Inishowen League that both teams can have positive results on Sunday.
Well, in the FA Intermediate Cup, Gavin, Coghill Celtic have a home game as well this weekend. This is the match that was postponed a couple of weeks back because of a frozen pitch. They play Kilnamana on Sunday, and just like Buncrana, will be hoping to make home advantage count.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what cup, home advantage is huge. And I know Coghill have lost a couple of, you know, like ourselves, a couple of influential players since the last game. But, you know, I've seen their squad before. They're a very, very strong squad. And I think there's a few more signings in since, so I'm sure they'll be confident.
And tell me, what about Bonagie United's game then? Just like Coghill, that match fell foul to the weather. They have a home game against College Corinthians on Sunday at 12 noon start at the Dry Arch Park. And speaking to Jason Gibson before that game, you know, he knew that his side were going to face a difficult test because these teams from the Munster Senior League, they're always so strong, always so experienced at Intermediate Cup level.
Yeah, I mean, but Bonagie themselves, I mean, last year, I'm not sure how many games we played last year, but Bonagie, they were the only team to beat us in 90 minutes and they beat us well. So there's a lot of quality there as well. I know they've signed strong players as well. And as you say, the home advantage, you know, cup football, anything can happen. So I'm sure if they stick to their game plan, and I'm sure they can get the positive result as well.
How's things going for yourself, Gavin? You'll be hoping to be on the starting 11 on Sunday, no doubt.
Yeah, hopefully we've a strong panel to pick from, even though we've lost James Henry recently in the last week to Institute. And there's a couple of question marks over others, but we have a strong panel to pick from no matter who's starting or who's not on the day. We should have enough quality to get the job done.
Yeah, I was looking down through your side. Do you know, there's an awful lot of familiar names in there, players who have played at a higher level, players with real quality, Michael Barr, Nigel McMonagall, Michael Henry, Jamie McCormick, all good players.
Yeah, oh, there's so much quality in the team, and I mean, I think it's probably we've actually lost a lot of quality from last year. Even, you know, we lost the likes of Sean Fagan, Matty Henry, DJ Canavan, who people seem to forget even played for us last year, but he was massive for us last year. And I think it probably took us the start of the year to get used to the change around in players. And we're only really, well, we've a couple of blips, but we're trying to get our consistency back, really. But you look at the squad, as you say, there's so much quality there that, you know, on our day we can beat anybody.
And when this cup run, well, hopefully it won't come to an end before long, but when you set it aside and go back to concentrating on league matters, Gavin, still a lot to play for, but unfortunately your cup exploit seems to have impacted on your league form.
Yeah, we've too many poor results in the league, really. You know, we're as far as the title race goes, we're out of that. But you know, we can still try. You know, we still have to keep going and try and finish as high as you can. I'm sure none of the teams needing points will want to be coming to us to need points to, you know, stay up or win, etc. You know, we can still have an impact on it, but it's just about trying to finish as high as we can now.
Well, Gavin, appreciate your time this evening, and all we can say is best wishes to yourselves this weekend, and indeed the three other clubs from Donegal. Big weekend ahead. Gavin Harkin, thanks for joining us on The Score this evening.
Thank you.
There you go. Well, big matches coming up over this weekend, and of course we're not too far away from the start of the new League of Ireland season either. And just on that, Shamrock Rovers Sporting Director Stephen McPhail thinks the establishment of an All-Ireland League is a no-brainer. Representatives from clubs within the League of Ireland and the Irish League, well, they'll meet in Dundalk tonight to further discuss the proposed league with Kieran Lucid. Another round of talks are also planned with the AFA and the FAI next month, and former Ireland midfielder McPhail is backing the idea of a cross-border game. More to come after this break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny. Make your Shop LK gift card go further by spending it in-store and get an extra 20% off.
Yeah, you're welcome back to The Score. Coming up on a quarter to eight this Thursday evening, Meath and Donegal throwing in a 2 o'clock on Sunday in that National Football League Division 1 game, the second series of fixtures, Tyrone away to Monaghan on a Sunday. And just very briefly, the other games in Division 1 on Saturday night, Mayo hosting Dublin at 7 o'clock, and at the same time, Kerry, they host Galway. There are also games in Division 2 on Saturday night, Laois against Armagh and Cavan against Westmeath. Derry are involved in action in Division 3 on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. They're away to Down, and there's one game on Saturday in Division 4, Wexford against Carlow. Well, Donegal will be well represented at the National Under 18 Boxing Championships, which take place in the National Stadium in Dublin on Friday night. Three boxers from the county involved, Letterkenny's Paddy McShane and Rafoe club mates Cody Lafferty and Leah Gallen. And Peter O'Donnell, the interesting thing about tomorrow night is that all three of the Donegal boxers involved have tasted success at national level before.
That's right. Paddy McShane now from Letterkenny, he's a four-time national champion. He's won a couple of schoolboy and a couple of youth. Cody Lafferty, she won one title as a school girl. And Leah Gallant, she's a five-time national champion. And also double European bronze medalist as well, you know. So they all got a taste of success, as you say, Dermot, you know. But tomorrow night's a big, big night for them, you know. There are 16 finals tomorrow night. And the electric atmosphere is always a big night, the bumper crowd. And it's all on the night, as you know yourself, you're a sportsman yourself, and Dermot, and these boxers, they perform well through the preliminary bouts, but it's all on the night, like you're getting on for what you done last week or the week before, and it's just whoever performs on the night. And there's a good prize at stake at the end of this as well. Out to the Europeans Youth Championships in Montenegro in April for all the winners, you know. So a big, big night for them all, for all the boxers, and they'll be nothing easy because they all face very, very stiff opposition.
Yeah.
Paddy McShane, he comes up against a very slick southpaw from Belfast, from St. Paul's in Belfast. Dylan Nicholson, and 49 kilo to side of the light fly. Cody Lafferty, she's looking to bridge a six-year gap because she won her only national title back in 2014. And she comes up against a very good Limerick boxer, Beata Quinlan from Rathkeel, in the 48 kilo final. And then you have Leah Gallen, and she's on with a very good opponent as well, Shelby Myers from one of Dublin's top clubs, Crumlin. This is the welterweight final, 69 kilos. And Myers has moved up from 60 kilos last year up to 69. So we don't know too much about her, really, like, you know. So that'll be all on the night, Dermot.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Peter. Whenever, you know, your fighters know the opposition and they've got, you know, so long to prepare for these bouts, you know, that has to be an advantage for them.
Oh, it's definitely an advantage for them, surely to God. That's a good advantage for them, Dermot, you know, whenever they're meeting these on their away with teams with them, you know, before. Like Leah's opponent, she was away with Shelby Myers, but in England in that last year at an international, but she was boxing at 60 kilos then. She's moved up, you know. She was kind of off the scene there for a wee while, but she's come along now and she's in the finals here, so you can take nothing for granted. You know, it's, as I say, it's all on the night.
Tell me, Paddy McShane against Dylan Eagleson, he's the only male boxer left at these championships, and I'm sure hopes are high that he can bring another title back to the town.
Well, hopefully he can now. Paddy is very good. He's a live wire, like a live wire flyweight boxer, you know, and very good, 49 kilos. And he's been there, like he has won four national titles, so he knows what it's all about. But this is a very good boy. I mean, Eagleson from St. Paul's, he has won a couple of national titles himself, like, and he'll be really up for this as well. Everybody will be looking for the prize at the end of the rainbow here. On the night, like this trip to Montenegro for the European Youth, you know, and if you medal there at these, you go on to the World Youth Championships as well. Yeah. So later on in the year, so it's all big stuff, you know, for the winners on the night.
Fantastic opportunities for them all, Peter.
Great opportunities for all the boxers, like, you know, they'll be all looking forward to it, and everybody will be looking to perform their best on the night. And as you know, the way it happens sometimes, they can turn on impressive performances and prelims and one thing and all, and then maybe freeze when it comes to the big occasion, you know, electric fire atmosphere up here tomorrow night, and it'll be all big stuff, you know. So we're really looking forward to it, you know, and it's great for our own club to have two boxers there, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be plenty of support making the trip up to watch them.
They plan their support up to watch them, surely to God, Dermot. The only downside to it would be that we're missing out on the Sports Star Awards tomorrow night. You know, we'd love to be there. We'll always be at them, you know, but we'll be represented there too, you know. But it'd be nice to, if they hadn't been on the same night as the Sports Stars, you know.
Okay, okay. Well, tomorrow night marks the start of a busy weekend, Peter, because Dunfanaghy Boxing Club, they're hosting a tournament on Sunday as well. I'm sure there'll be plenty of good action there.
That's right. They have a very good show on Sunday. Eddie Harkin, the head coach there, has a big show on 14 contests in the Osmond Centre. And there are 14 contests down for decision, as I say. And there are boxers from all over Ulster, from Derry and Belfast and all over, you know, when that show gets underway at 6:30. So that'd be a big weekend's boxing as well on Sunday night, you know.
Yeah.
And we have all our tournaments coming up as well there. Dermot on Sunday or on Saturday the 15th of February, Dunree have a show in the Irish College in Bunkrana, and on Sunday the 1st of March Carrigart have a show as well, you know. So it's all very, very busy. And then we have the Ulster Elite Championships, the preliminaries for those are on the 18th, 19th and 20th of February. The finals are on Tuesday the 25th of February in the Ulster Hall, Belfast, and that's Ulster Boxing's annual Blue Ribbon event. So that'll be another big occasion for all the boxers as well, you know.
Fantastic. Well, listen, on the international scene as well, Peter, I know you were in the States last weekend for Jason's fight. He did ever so well. And then Derry's Conor Coyle back in the ring. When is it? The early hours of tomorrow morning?
The early hours of tomorrow morning. I'd just like to wish Conor all the best now. Conor come up through the ranks as well with St. Joseph's and Derry, and he's on. And there's another medal with Luke Taylor fighting in the early hours in the morning in America as well for a world title, you know. So it's all good for Irish boxing, you know, two men fighting in America tonight, Coyle and Luke Taylor, you know. So it's all good.
Yeah. And everything going well at Rafoe as well, Peter? I know
everything's
going.
You have
a wee event there tonight. I think presentation's taking place.
We have a presentation. We're getting a presentation from the Rafoe Roadrunners. They have an annual 5K race every year, and they use the boxing club as a sports hub for refreshments, and they register and one thing and another. They always make us a donation whenever they hand out the checks the night, they different charities. So we have had now at 8 o'clock, you know, so we're looking forward to that as well, you know. They're always very, very good days, and that we're great, very grateful for the donation from them, you know.
Perfect example of community groups getting together and helping each other out, Peter.
That's what it's all about in sport. We use the boxing club there as a community hub, you know, because there's different groups use it, not alone the road runners or anything like that. There's different groups there, keep fit classes and one thing and another, and it's all good for the community, you know. It lets everybody see what's going on in the town, you know, because we're small, tightly knit community over here in Rafoe, and it's all good for everybody in the town, you know.
Good stuff. Okay, Peter. Well, listen, hope your night goes well tonight, and hope the weekend goes well on top of that. More importantly, Cody and Leah and Paddy, big night for them tomorrow night, and we wish them the best luck. Thanks for joining us this evening, Peter.
Thanks very much, Dermot.
Thank you. Peter O'Donnell there of the Donegal County Boxing Board. And by the way, they will hold their next meeting on Tuesday, February the 4th, in the Letterkenny Gym at 8:30. And all the clubs involved are asked to attend. We're going to go for another quick break. Yeah, into the last few minutes of tonight's programme. A result from earlier on today in the FAI Schools Senior Girls National Cup semi-final in soccer. No joy for Moville Community College. They lost against Presentation of Kilkenny by 4-1, that match played in Monaghan earlier on today. And in rugby, Sevens player Aoife Doyle will line out for Ireland's women's 15s team for the first time since 2015 this weekend. The Munster winger has been named to start by head coach Adam Griggs for their Six Nations clash with Scotland at Donnybrook this Sunday. Gloucester's Ellen Murphy has been selected at out half, with Kira Griffin captaining the team from the back row. Laura Feely is among the Irish replacements. Donegal players were to the fore with DCU last night as the Dublin club lifted the Sigerson Cup for the fifth time. Paddy Christie's side were 14 points to 7 winners over IT Carlow. They're the side, of course, that beat Letterkenny IT in the semi-final. Donegal men Brendan McColl and Conor Morrison started in the full-back line for the Dublin side. Dunloe's Mark Kern and Sean McCool's player Nathan Gavigan were also part of the squad for the competition. Speaking with Oisin Langan, Conor Morrison was delighted.
That's phenomenal, to be honest with you. Like, we got tanked by UCD last year. We just regrouped this year. Thankfully, Paddy Christie stayed on. I mean, we had a lot of squad from last year and just worked on game by game. League campaign went all right, but we tried different players, tried different things, and thankfully it's worked out. So we just kind of got lucky this year with home draw, start of the year, home grounds, and we had every game was here. So it's just phenomenal.
You look comfortable on the ball, not just tonight, but all through your campaign. The Garda College, I know, gave you a bit of a scare in the first match.
But if you're at the Garda College game, you want to say
aside from that, though, you look comfortable.
I was kicking the backside of part eight against Garda College, give away the ball cheaply, but that's all we worked on. Training was working on blanket defences, playing against 13 men. Behind the ball, just working it, each score.
Yeah, Niall Moyna coming over to say congratulations. Of course, the man who was in charge when DC won their first in 2006. This is their fifth, just 14 years later. It must mean an awful lot to you as a player to win with such a special and talented group of players.
Yeah, it really is. We won the Freshers All-Ireland in the first year. We've been living on campus since. Like, it's brilliant. Living with Lexif, Evan Comfort, me and him came probably really good pals this year. It wouldn't happen unless we live each other. Playing with lads of different counties. And just for all the one goals to win with ECU, it's phenomenal.
Mark Kern and Brendan McColl are in the squad as well. That must mean an awful lot to win it with two other Donegal lads.
Yeah, it's class, to be honest with you. Brendan actually lives just down the floor below me. We're in the gym sessions in the morning in Donegal and training that evening with DCU again, so it's great to have them two lads when you do a training together, so you're not on your own. It's not easy sometimes getting up at 6:15 in the morning to make gym at 6:30 and then training that evening at DCU again. So it's nice to be all over now and focus on county from here on.
And that's it, you played over the weekend against Mayo, and look, obviously tonight is about DCU, so we won't go into that, but it must be a nice kind of jumping off platform at the start of the year to have that already in the bag of county appearance and now a Sigerson medal.
Yeah, it is. To be honest, I don't think it was going to get on against Mayo there on Saturday. So came on, did all right. Probably should have done more for the goal at the end, picked up a small shoulder injury, but and then we got through it, got the win here, some happy outs. So looking forward to Meath now on Sunday. I'll enjoy tonight and take Meath from there.
Conor, well done tonight. Congratulations on winning an Electric Garden Sigerson Cup.
That's Conor Morrison there in conversation with Oisin Langan. Well done to Conor, to Brendan, to Nathan and to Mark for their success with DCU. And before we finish up tonight, just want to mention one of the highlights on the sporting calendar. That's the Donegal Sports Star Awards, which take place on Friday evening in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. The 44th Awards is a sellout with over 600 guests set to attend. 180 nominees are in the hunt in the various categories, with 40 awards to be given out on the night, and that will be followed by the naming of the overall winner. Organisers are asking those attending to be at the Mount Errigal Hotel for 6:30, as the event will start at 7:00 sharp. Best of luck to all the nominees.